The tour content from now through Lagba Omer has been generously sponsored by Malki M. Thank you, Malki. June is less than a month away, which means that I'll soon be transitioning into summer writing mode, with more Substack articles and fewer recorded shiurim. The bulk of these articles will remain free. However, if you would like to support my Torah and gain access to additional spicy written content, consider becoming a paid subscriber by going to rabbischneeweiss.substack.com and signing up today. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew Podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Since I was not planning on recording an episode this morning, I decided that instead of reading Seneca when I first woke up, I would read Marcus Aurelius, you know, because I didn't have any responsibilities to do Seneca. So I opened up my Marcus Aurelius and immediately saw this paragraph, and that triggered a thought which developed enough throughout the morning that I realized I had to share it. So this thought comes from Meditations, Book 4, Chapter 47. And Aurelius writes, "Just as if God told you, tomorrow you will be dead, or in any case, the day after tomorrow, you would no longer be making that day after important any more than tomorrow, unless you are an utter coward, for the difference is a mere trifle. In the same way, count it no great matter to live to a year that is an infinite distance off rather than till tomorrow." So this triggered a thought for two reasons. I'm trying to think where I should begin. I guess the first place that I'll begin is, you know, I think a lot of us have been over the last month thinking about where we were last year at this time. And last year at this time, this was actually the first, this is the second week that we had been on remote education on Zoom, and we're struggling, and teachers all over, including myself, were struggling with adjusting to the new reality of teaching remotely for the rest of the year. And little did I know that in only, 8 days' time after this, then it would be announced that my school, Shall Have It, where I'd worked for the last 10 years, would close permanently. And that would thrust me into the unknown. So I was thinking about that. And I was also thinking about a reflection that I wrote last year on Erev Pesach about Bnei Israel and the fact that the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Exodus was conducted in a state of chipazon. So chipazon is often translated as haste, but the Aramaic word for chipazon is behilu or behala, which has a connotation, or I guess even a denotation, of not just haste, but like anxiety or panic. And I went into in this reflection that I wrote. Maybe I'll find a way to link it. I don't know if I posted it anywhere publicly. I wrote about why it was necessary to take Bnei Israel out in a state of panic. And I most recently read this idea from Rabbi Zucker. I don't know where I originally read it, but the idea is that when you have slaves and they're freed in a manner that gives them dominion over their masters, it's very easy for them to feel a sense of gava, of haughtiness, which makes them feel that it was, you know, kochiv otim yadi asali asachai lazeh, that it was my might and the might of my own hand that made me this wealth, or that it was my merit that allowed me to do this. And it gives them this rush of a feeling of dominance and power and control. And that's, I mean, first of all, that's not realistic. I mean, we were not taken out of Mitzrayim because of our own merit. We were taken out because God made the promise to the Avos and the covenant with them. And we got out because of that promise. And we got out for a national mission to be established as a Mamlechas Kohanim Vagoy Kadosh, as a nation of, or however you want to translate that, Mamlechas Kohanim, a nation of priests, educators, and a holy nation, and to establish ourselves in Israel and to instruct mankind about the Derech Hashem, about the way of Hashem. So it would have been very inappropriate to feel, oh, and also none of this was due, we didn't have any hand in how the Exodus was brought about in terms of the logistics of it, in terms of the mechanisms. We were totally not in control. So in other words, if Hashem had let us, had taken us out in a manner that allowed us to wallow in that feeling of egotistical independence and power, that would have threatened to undermine the entire Exodus. And so therefore he took us out in a state of panic and uncertainty and really fear of death. I mean, think about the night of Pesach, you know, that Bnei Israel were doing their Sedarim inside, but there was death and and destruction going on outside, and they couldn't leave their home, but yet they had to be prepared as though they were going to leave. There's a lot of uncertainty. Okay, so that's what I wrote about last year this time. This year, I encountered a Sforno on a Pasuk, which I think we usually, I mean, I can't speak for you, but I usually just take as, you know, something that is not really about Pesach, but is just something that is necessary for the halachos of Pesach to come about, namely the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. So the Pasuk in Shemos 12:2 says, HaChodesh hazeh lechem Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon hu lechem l'chodesh Hashana. So literally this is, this month is for you the first of months, the first for you of the months of the year. And this is where we got the mitzvah to set up the calendar and to establish the Nisan as the first month. And then that allows us to set up the entire system of the Mo'adim, of the holidays, and to celebrate Pesach on the 15th, okay? But Sforno doesn't just take this as a logistical, practical mitzvah. He says as follows, HaChodesh zeh lechem Rosh Chodeshim. Mikan, so what does it mean that this month is for you, the first of months? What's the lechem? He says, Mikan ve'elach yihu HaChodeshim shelachem. From here and onwards, the months will be yours. La'asos behem kirtonachem. To do with them as you will. Aval b'yimei hashibud lo hayu yimeichem shalachem. But in the days of servitude, your days were not your own. Aval hayu la'avodas acherim uritzonam. But they were for the servitude of others and for their will, as opposed to your will. Lefikach, therefore, rishon hu lachem l'chodesh hashana. This will be the first for you of the months of the year. Ki bo hischil mitziusachem habechirai. This is when your free existence will commence, meaning you will begin your existence as free men. So he's making this not just a matter of setting up the calendar, but he's saying that the month of Nisan for Klal Yisrael back then, this was the first month that was theirs. All of their months during the servitude, the slavery, had belonged to their masters. They did not have free will to do what they did with their time. Their time was dictated by how they used their time was dictated by their masters. And now they are being given a month for themselves. Now the interesting thing is, obviously, simultaneously with this, they're being given commandments, you know, and these commandments are restrictive in terms of what they should and shouldn't do. Even Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were given, you know, an iser of chametz for one day, and they had to do the Korban Pesach, and they had to take the Pesach, you know, on the 10th of the month, and they had to shecht it. And so it was, so functionally, like, you could argue that it really wasn't theirs. They just switched from one master to the other. But this is an important point, and this is really what I've been thinking about here, which is that we, in Judaism, for our holidays, we talk about Mikadish Yisrael v'hazmanim, that God sanctifies Israel and the times. And unlike Shabbos, which is sanctified by God himself from Bereishis, we sanctify the times for the festivals, right? This is done through Beis Din and through the witnesses, seeing the new moon. And, you know, now it's done through the calendar, but it's still based on the same principles. We are the ones who sanctify time. And what does it mean to sanctify time? Sanctification, you know, Kedusha, is to set aside for a higher purpose. And so we are the ones who sanctify this time, and we set it aside, and we it's true that we follow these restrictions and these mitzvos. You know, we don't do malacha, we don't do certain types of creative activity, and that limits our ability to use the time for our own personal pursuits. And we have to keep these mitzvos, which focus us on important ideas and values that for the sake of our perfection. But the point is that itself is an exercise of our existence as free men. You know, our ability to choose what to do with our time, and the fact that we are choosing to devote our time to something which is for the sake of our development as human beings and for a higher purpose, that is an expression of freedom. So yes, it's true that Klal Yisrael was given these mitzvos, and that the mitzvos limit their options, but entering into that, choosing to keep that, is an act of a free person, not the act of a slave. You know, the slaves in Mitzrayim did not have the ability to choose what to do, and we do. So now let's combine the two thoughts, the thoughts of where we were at the pandemic, in the pandemic last year at this time, and where we are now. So one of the many things that this year has taught me is a lot of lessons about how I use my time. I mean, from the switch to, as a high school teacher, to having, you know, two new jobs with undefined parameters, to the fact that, to all of the challenges that came with the beginning of the, with, in the fall and then the winter, and grappling with how I use my time and how much time is for myself, how much time is for my teaching, and struggling with that. And the reality of the fact that through much of this pandemic, as Marcus Aurelius said, we didn't know what the future would hold. In fact, I mean, again, like thinking back to last year, this time, once we were living on a one day at a time basis, and then once Shall Have It closed, and like the future became uncertain. I mean, it really was like a we're going to take this one week at a time, one day at a time, one month at a time, and it telescoped the future in a way where we couldn't see where we were headed, and we just had to make use of the time that we were given. And I've learned a lot about, I don't want to reduce it to time management. I've learned a lot about time sanctification, about how I am, despite all of the strictures of that were imposed by these external circumstances of the pandemic and my school closing, I am free. Thank God I'm free. And I have the freedom to choose how to use my time. And at times it felt like I was being enslaved to my schedule, enslaved to the demands that were upon me, enslaved to the limitations that were upon me. But I have to keep reminding myself, or I had to keep reminding myself, that this is my time, and I'm the one who chooses what to do with it. And I can either be a slave of the time, or I can engage with the time that I've been given as someone who is free, and who is striving for a higher purpose for Kedusha. So, I don't know what the upshot is in terms of for you, but I can say what it is for me is that according to the Sforno's idea, Rosh Chodesh is not just a practical logistical thing to set up a calendar. Rosh Chodesh is a constant reminder of our freedom, the freedom that began in Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we were taken out of being under the schedule and timetable of our masters, and we were given freedom to use time as we wish. And it is a prompt, it's a reminder, rebuke, I don't know how you want to say it, but it's a reminder that we may now use our time for Kedusha. And that's the idea that we have every holiday when we say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. That's the idea we say in the tefillos of Rosh Chodesh, Mekadesh Yisrael Rosh Chodeshim. And this really is the time that the Jew lives in. We live in time that is produced by an act of Kedusha on our part, that is a component and a necessary implication of our existence as free people. So that's what I'm thinking this morning. I guess it's appropriate, that I can't say whether this is my last episode before Pesach. Who knows what the day will bring, but if this is my last episode, then I guess I wish everyone a Chag Kasher for Sameach, and I hope that we all, take the lessons of this past year and allow that to inform the way that we experience Pesach this year, which will prompt us to develop further in our free existence through Torah and Mitzvos in the future. Have a wonderful Pesach.